All right, look in your Bibles to the book of Romans this morning, Romans chapter 10, and you're willing and able to stand this morning, Romans chapter 10. And I appreciate everyone being in your place today. Got visitors on the main floor in the balcony boat today. We're honored to have you, and just looking for what the Lord's got for us in His precious Word this morning. And let's be praying the Lord to touch our hearts. And if you're here and you're not saved, I'm glad to tell you in the right place at the right time. And I'm glad Jesus Christ saves from sin. And we praise the name of the Lord for that this morning. In Romans chapter 10, and I'll read verse number 1, and then we'll pray and try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I'll read that again. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning, for it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father, thank you for the day you reached down in the muck and mire, sin lifted me out, saved me. Thank you, Lord, for the hope I have in you this morning. I pray now as we look in your word for a few minutes, God, may the word of God find its resting place in each of our hearts. I pray for that and it's not saved today. Oh, may the Holy Ghost reprove them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. May they repent and be saved right here today. Help us as your people. May we have a more determination, a greater burden for the lost than we've ever had. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to read the verse again where the Bible said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I'm interested in those three words here in this verse, "my heart's desire." Now, to preach this morning on this subject, "the Lord being my helper," on a burden for the lost, a burden for the lost. Brother Paul writing to this church, and he lets them know, "my heart's desire is for my people that they would be saved." And I say to you, that's what a burden truly is. It is the desire of the heart. And Paul had this burden for the Jew who was lost, even though Brother Paul mainly was the apostle to the Gentile, yet he had a burden for his own people. I read back, and I want you to look in Romans 9 and verses 1 through 3. Brother Paul says this, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Brother Paul said, "I have a continual, I saw a great heaviness in my heart." He even said in verse 3, and listen, this is a verse that boggles my mind. And as I've even read after some other men in these days, it's a verse that's hard really to get a grasp of. Paul is saying, "I'd be willing to go to hell myself if my people, the Jew, I could be saved." I'm going to tell you, that's a great burden. Now, Paul knew he couldn't lose his salvation. Paul knew that. Paul teaches us that. But yet his heart is so heavy for those that are lost. And can I say to us who are saved right here today, oh, that we'd have a burden for family and friends and neighbors and our communities and the world, that we'd desire that they be saved. I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody to go to hell. Amen. I want to see everybody get saved. Matter of fact, this week in the meeting, I preached this past week. I told you Wednesday night I came back here. I told you on Tuesday night there's two saved. Wednesday night they had four more saved. God was beginning drawing sinners in that meeting. At why, preacher? People had a burden. You don't see folks saved by chance. Please understand that. Oh, now there's a lot of folks that, well, I've got their name in the bulletin on Wednesday night, the prayer list. That's good. But do you have a burden? Do you have a desire yourself to see them get saved? A lot of folks say they got a burden and they want somebody else to witness to them. Say amen, nod your head. You know that's right. But we need a burden, a heart's desire, as Paul had to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, today I begin dwelling about that burden. It'll cause three things for you in your life. If you have a burden, if you got a heart's desire, a heaviness, a continual sorrow over those, it'll produce three things in your life as a child of God. Number one, it'll cause you to pray for the lost. Paul said, Romans 10 and verse 1, bring my heart desire and prayer to God. For Israel is that they might be saved. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This ain't a message going to make nobody do much shouting, but it's what we need. Amen. If we're not careful, we get on autopilot. Amen. We get careless. If we're not real careful, we seem to lose sight that around us in our families, our neighbors who are lost without God, they need the Lord. Can I say this? The reason, I guarantee you this is the case for all of us that are saved. Somebody prayed for us. They had a burden, and that burden drove them out to the secret place where they got along with God and said, oh God, I don't want them to see, I don't want to see them go to hell. I want to see them get saved. I want them to get right with you. There was a burden, and it drove the people to their prayer place. Oh friend, I promise you, if you've got a burden for the lost, you'll be a praying for the lost. Praying and weeping. I'm old school. I know some 47, not old, it's midlife and all that, but I'll tell you something. I've been around this thing long enough, I've seen folk weep over sinners. And I've wept over sinners before. Amen. I'm talking about I've seen my own eyes on the altars before where there'd be puddles of tears where folk that had someone they loved was lost and they wept over them before God. Hey, we need that kind of praying. A brokenness, a weeping over folks. So, hey, I'm glad this folk pray for me like that. I know they did. Preacher, how do you know? I heard them. Now, there's a lot of you would say, preacher, I want you to go witness to my family. Be glad to do that. But you ought to be a witness to them yourself. You say, but preacher, it's too hard to witness your family. My family didn't believe that. Amen. I had a mama that would set us down at family altar and say, Davey, you need to get saved. That's right. I heard her pray, oh God, save Davey. Amen. I had a great grandmother who did not even have indoor plumbing. Hear me now. A little asbestos siding, little old house. That's where I learned the difference in a slop jar and a slop bucket. These kids don't know nothing about that, but we got some aid. We understand that talk. She would tuck us into bed. I'd spend the night with her. Loved running up the road to Granny's. And I loved her and she loved us. And she was a granny, wasn't afraid to switch you. She loved you, but you got out of line. You'd hickory dance. Amen. We'd spend the night at her house and she quilted in those type of grannies that did. And she'd lay in the wintertime, lay so many quilts on you, you couldn't roll over in the bed. And she'd kiss us good night. And we was hoping Granny had washed her mouth because, you know, mountain women like snuff. Amen. And she'd tuck us in, kiss us, and boy, we loved Granny. But then she'd go to that front bedroom that was hers. And I've got out of the bed before, stood at her door, and she didn't know I was there. But I really didn't have to do that. I could hear it all the way in the back of the house. She'd sit on the side of the bed, Brother Ben, put her face in her hands and began to weep and began to pray. And she prayed for her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I heard her call my name to God on a personal basis. She'd say, David's lost. Oh, God, save him. That's the kind of family I had and have today. They prayed for us. They witnessed it. I told you this other week about my other granny that lived up the road as well. And she loved Dr. J. Harold Smith. And that woman would witness to you at the drop of a hat. And she won't know, have you give your heart to Jesus? She'd ask me that point blank over and over again. If somebody else in the family got saved, I didn't want to go to granny's. Because if I went up there, she'd say, did you hear so-and-so got saved? And I wasn't bothered by that. But I knew what's going to come next. And she'd say, have you give your heart, Davy, to Jesus yet? You know where all that came? It was a burden. And they had a prayer life. They prayed and asked God to save us. Hey, and by the way, some of you sitting here today that's lost, there's people that's burdened over you. And they're praying for you. They're weeping and they're travailing over your soul. Amen. Hey, folk even fast and pray over sinners when they're burdened. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Years ago, when I was pastoring in North Carolina, God was beginning to deal with a young teenager's heart. Lost, I'm talking about pew-gripping, knuckle-turning white conviction on that boy. And I'd preach, and he'd tremble under conviction but wouldn't move. It got so many months of conviction on him that when the invitation started, he'd tell his mom, I'm sick, and he'd run out of the building. What it was that conviction. He wasn't sick at all. He was under the condemnation of his sin. Amen. Well, that kept happening until one night after a service where the power of God had fell. And some men I didn't know it had met in the corner were talking, fellowshipping, and they had entered into a covenant. And they came by and talked to me and said, Pastor, we've talked to us men, and they were all standing there. They said this, Preacher, we'll not eat lunch again till that boy gets saved. Amen. What's that? That's a burden. That's being willing to fast through a meal over somebody that's lost that needs Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul had such a burden. He prayed for Israel that they might be saved. Oh, friend, today, not only will a burden cause you to pray for the lost, but a burden will cause you to present the gospel to the lost. Give a testimony. Matter of fact, look on in Romans 10, down in verse 9 through 13, the Bible says, Paul presenting this, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, Paul gave testimony for sinners that they would be saved. I'm glad somebody taught me the way of salvation. Amen. Presented the gospel. I remember this day. Brother C.J. Duval was my pastor when I was a little bit firstborn, I was 10 years old. That man of God had preaching, he'd shake his fist over that pulpit, thundering it out. Charles Worley preached a spring meeting every year when I was a boy, hollering, I'm going to load your wagon till your wheels wobbles. Every time I sat under that kind of preaching. this, telling me about Christ. Had Sunday school teachers open that Bible, not a Reader's Digest, not a book on recycling, not a book on how to be better, but a book about salvation, the Word of God, and shared with me the truth of the Scripture. Amen. Hey, friend, glad somebody witnessed to me. There's some sitting here today, you say, preacher, I can't witness. I don't know what to say. Well, tell them how you got in. That's really the best witness you never give. It ain't a theological debate you need to get into. Hello, it's you presenting Christ to them. Say, listen, he done this in my life. He can change your life. Amen. Hey, for as Brother Tim said a little while ago, salvation will change you. Amen. It'll make a difference in you. Oh, Brother Paul said, you give them that gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Let them know it's whosoever will. You know, not just because of the fact that another crowd's not right about an elect only, and they aren't right in their teaching. But let me say this, he puts whosoever will in the Bible because he knew there'd be a lot of folk we'd witness to. Well, say, I've been too mean. I've got too bad. My life's too bad a wreck. Hey, Jesus wanted everybody to know, if you're lost, he's the Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hey, Brother Paul said, if that burden's strong enough, it'll cause you to present the gospel to them. Hey, even a gospel tract. I've seen God use a gospel tract and draw folk to church. That's right. One time years ago, I gave a gospel tract at a restaurant. I went in and gave them a tract. That one that got it never read it probably. But somehow it landed on the manager's desk, and the manager picked it up, and God began dealing with his heart, and the manager came to church, I was pastoring back then, and got right with God off of a gospel track. Amen. Hey, before you knock a gospel track, you better understand something. A gospel track has the Word of God in it. It is not a preacher saving anybody. It is not the church saving anybody. It's the Word of God that birthed us in the family of God. Amen. Hey, a burden will help you present that gospel to the lost. Number three, not only it'll cause you to pray for the lost and present the gospel to the lost, but number three, it'll cause you to be a portrait for the lost. You say, what in the world you mean, preacher? Portrait. Preacher, don't you know that means photograph or paint? Yeah, but that ain't the only definitions of the word portrait. Here's your two more. Representative. Likeness. Amen. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Why did they call them Christian? Because they were Christ-like. They were a portrait, if you please, of Jesus Christ. People saw Christ in them. Can I ask you something, you that's been in church most of your life? Is there not people you look back to in your life and you saw Christ in them? Buddy, I got a whole memory full of them. If you're not raised that way, I hate that for you. You can start it for your family by being right with God yourself. But I'm glad there was folk in my family and the church we attended. Hey, they were a portrait of Christ. I saw Christ real in them. Have the hope of glory. Amen. Hey, we need to be a portrait for the lost. Matter of fact, let me read you something over in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1. And verse 20 and 21, Paul says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, now listen, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, I want Christ magnified in my body. You understand that word magnify means to make big. Amen. I want him, I want the Lord to be easily seen in my life. I hit something Wednesday night. I made the statement about Christians shouldn't wear Budweiser hats or drive a Budweiser truck. So I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again stronger. You have no business advertising that kind of trash on your body. Amen. Why? Christ can't be seen. Amen. Oh, you say you don't think somebody's, I ain't talking about whether they're saved or not. That's between them and God. God knows the truth of that. But I want to tell you something. If you just dressed like that and went to give a gospel tract, you'd wind up like Lot was in the book of Genesis. He was one that mocked his family. What do you know about judgment? What do you know about God? Amen. Hey, Paul said, I want Christ to be easily seen in my life. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I too, along with Paul, I want folk when they see me say, he's a Christian. He knows God. I don't want them to have to scratch their head and say, what do you reckon it is about him? Amen. They need to be able to see Christ real in our life. Now, again, this is not a message that makes folks shout. And being a long weekend like it is, and folks are growing from here to yon. Boy, but God, the Holy Ghost, spoke to me days ago, and I wasn't sure if I'd even preach this or not. But as I began praying more about it, the Lord said, that's what I want you to preach, because people need to know we need to keep a burden for the lost. Hey, can they see Christ in you? Remember what they said in Acts 4 about those disciples? They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Amen. Oh, they ought to know when we come in the room, hey, they're not like everybody. They know God. Amen. Oh, friend, today a burden will cause you to pray for the lost, will cause you to present the gospel to the lost, will make you a portrait to the lost. Amen. Hey, can I urge you today, as you want to draw closer to God, that burden will intensify. It will. If you keep at a distance, it'll never get any stronger. But as you, on purpose, make a conscious decision to draw closer to God, that burden will get stronger. It sure will. Your prayer life will intensify for sinners. You'll find yourself giving out a gospel tract a little easier. You sure will. I find myself, as I'm drawing nigh to God, even going through the drive-thru and give them a gospel tract, said, let me give you this, read this. Amen. Hey, letting folk know about the Lord. I want to live my life that can glorify the Lord. Don't you? Hey, friend, we all have people in our families that's lost. We got folk around us that are lost. Hey, we need to keep that burden. Amen. In these last days. And I want to say this to you that's sitting right here today that's lost. There are people that love you and are praying for you and are calling your name out to God. They want to see you get saved. And I end with this statement here. People that are burdened over souls, when people get saved, do not have to be begged to say amen nor to shout. It's spontaneous. Because if you've been carrying that load, if you've ever had something you had to tote around, it's so heavy. And when you laid it off, buddy, you know that you laid it off. I'm going to tell you, that's the way it is carrying a burden. And when they get saved, hey, it lifted off them. But man, it's a lift off of you too. And you'll find yourself ready to praise God and thank God that another one don't have to go to hell. Amen. Oh, friend, a burden for the lost. May the Lord help us as individuals and as a church to have that desire to see somebody else birthed in the family of God. Father, take the message now. Use it for your honor and for your glory. I've tried my best to preach what you laid on my heart today. Oh, my Father, help us in this invitation time. Lord, I pray for that and it's lost. I pray the Holy Ghost will convict them. Lord, they'd run to you and be saved before it's everlasting too late. Help us as your people that we'd draw nigh to you. Lord, that burden for sinners would indeed intensify in our life. Help us, I pray. And Lord, all you do, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed a minute. I've tried my best to preach to you what the Lord laid on my heart today. And I wonder, is there someone here by raising their hand, say, "Preacher, I'm lost." And I admit it by lifting my hand. I'm lost without God. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody in the building today? "Preacher, I'm not saved. I admit it." How many of you that are saved today, that you do have people on your heart that are lost, and you got a burden praying for them to get saved? Would you lift your hand today? Can I encourage you to keep on praying? Keep on presenting the gospel to them. Keep on living the life that they can see Christ in you. Let's stand this morning. Folk are coming. I'm going to be real honest. We ought to find us a place and say, "Oh God, they're on my heart. I'm going to keep on praying, calling their name to God." Don't you give up on them. Somebody didn't give up on you. You say, "Preacher, they're getting worse." That kind of happens when they get under conviction. They're trying to fight off that conviction, so they try to find something else to get their attention on. Keep on praying for them, calling their name out to God. Don't you give up today. While we sing, others of you need to come. While we're singing,